Two, the adult discussion Sunday school class at Wings Christian Fellowship. Crowds of people are standing around. It's standing room only in here. People looking in the windows and trying to get in touch with the spirit of the living God that dwells within each and every
great
one.
Cloud of witnesses.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, more than you can know.
Yeah. Robert, would you lead us in prayer?
Yeah. Zina ryawe rikuzwe kandi rihimbazwe, uri amahoro n'ibyishimo, umunezero uragakiza, uriimbaraga urukunesha byacu. Turakunezerera kuko duhuriye hano kandi kugira ngo twumve icyo ushaka ku buzima bwacu, kandi na buri wese, kandi udufashe kandi utuyobore, kuko niwe mahoro yacu yose. Zose mu izina rya Yesu. Amen.
Amen.
So I guess it's Buddy's turn to read this week, because I listened last week and Brenda read. So I think we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5,
yes.
Unless anybody has anything from last week that you'd like to read there.
While you're reading it.
Sure. How far should we go? I'm not even in yet. So.
It's a long jet.
How far do you, where's the first natural break? Oscar.
Well, see, I'm trying to get to it here.
Me too.
See where we were. We were doing four last week, right?
Yeah, we read through the end.
Yeah.
Unless anybody has anything.
I'm trying to think.
This chapter is 28. Verse 28.
Yeah.
So
it's long. It's a lot in Amplified, but it's in the King James, it's short.
Oh, it's short?
Yeah, you look at it like a King James here.
Okay.
That.
Do you want to read it in King James? Please.
Then,
anything?
In Amplified, you mean?
She said King James is a little shorter.
It's shorter, but then he can, you can read it. I'm going to read but to the 28th, and then he's going to do part of it.
And you know, I have to tell you, Brenda, I loved when you read last week. You would read and then you would share. I love that freedom, and I wish that everybody would do that. It was really good.
I don't do that.
Well, yeah, Brenda, if you want to, you know, jump in on me, you just give him that little wifely and jump right in.
So where are we?
We are in 1 Thessalonians, and let's go to...
Are you going through chapter 4 still or 5?
We're going to do 5, and you're going to have me read in because it's short. When you look at it...
King James.
In the King James.
Let's try that. Are we done with chapter 4 then? You read through chapter 4, didn't you?
Yeah.
To the end?
We completed chapter 4.
Yes. Okay.
I'm done. Yeah. Were you done with chapter 4?
Yeah. I mean,
all right.
I let you do a lot of the talking.
That's right. And it was good.
It was good.
You did good.
Thank you.
We're going to count on that.
I read the 10.
All right. So then I'm going to read all of 5, and then he's going to do an Amplify from 1 to 10.
Okay, make it 1 to 11, because that's a break in mind.
All right, so I'll read this.
It shows up. Okay.
But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. As when the as travail upon a woman with a child, and they travail, and they shall not escape. I'm sorry. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light. and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, and whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as ye do. And we beseech ye, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, body, be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That is so good. And I see all the things. And I look at how it's not just unto, didn't say just, say said all brethren. So anyone we come in contact with, there should be love, you know, toward them, like Brother Oscar was quoting from, like Jimmy Carter was it, he said, love's the one
that's in front of
him. In front of him, and that's the way it, yeah. All right, I'll let,
that's right.
Let him do his thing.
But as to the suitable times and their precise seasons and dates, brethren, you have no necessity for anything being written to you, for you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the return of the Lord will come as unexpectedly and suddenly as a thief in the night, when people are saying, all is well and secure, and then there is peace and safety. Then in a moment, unforeseen destruction, ruin and death will come upon them as suddenly as labor pains upon a woman with child. And they shall by no means escape, for there will be no escape. But you are not in giving up to the power of darkness, brethren, for that day to overtake you by surprise like a thief. For you are sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong either to the night or to the darkness. According then, let us not sleep as the rest do, but let us keep wide awake, alert, watchful, and cautious, and on our guard. Let us be sober, calm, collected, and circumspect. For those who sleep at night, and those who are drunk get drunk at night. But we belong to the day. Therefore, let us be sober and put on the breastplate, corset of faith, love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to incur his wrath. He did not select us to condemn us, but that we might obtain his salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who died for us so that whether who died for us, so that whether we are still living, alive, or are dead, at Christ's appearing, we might live together with him and share his life. Therefore, encourage, admonish, exhort one another, and edify, strengthen, build up one another, just as you are doing. Now also we beseech you, brother, not to know those who labor among you, recognize them for what they are, acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all, your leaders who are over you in the Lord, and those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you, and hold them in very high and most affectionate esteem with intelligence and sympathetic appreciation of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. We earnestly beseech you, brethren, admonish, warn, and seriously advise those who are out of line, the loafers, the disorderly, and the unruly. Encourage the timid and faint-hearted. Help and give your support to the weak souls. Be very patient with everybody, always keeping your temper. See that none of you repays another with evil for evil, but always aim to show kindness and seek to do good to one another and to everybody. Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continuously, always. Be unceasing in prayer, praying fervently. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the reliever, the revealer, and mediator of that will. Do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit. Do not spurn the gifts and utterance of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instructions or exhortations or warnings. But test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good. Do that, hold fast. Abstain from evil, shrink from it, and keep aloof of it in whatever form or whatever kind it may be. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you separate you from profane things, make you pure and holy, consecrated to God, and make your spirit and soul and body be preserved, sound, and complete, and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Faithful is he who is calling you to himself, and utterly trustworthy, and he will also do it, fulfill his call by hallowing and keeping you. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all their brothers with a sacred kiss. I solemnly charge you in the name of the Lord to have this letter read before all the brethren. The grace, the unmerited favor, and blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, be with you all. Amen. So be it.
Amen.
Sorry, I mean, I was stumbling up and down.
Well, I got to say just a few things about these. When I read it at home, sometimes it doesn't hit me. But when we get together and I read it, I see things in here that just astound me, and I love to see them. The times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. You know, they were agrarian, is that the right word? They were farmers and they were growers. The seasons were like their clock. You know when the spring is coming. If you have, and you see the little springs coming up, you see the days getting a little longer, and you see all these things happening. It's not given to us to know the exact plan of God, but we know the times and the seasons, and we know when night is coming. We know when the day star rises among us that we are children of the day. So many interesting things were in here. It says there that these children of the night, they shall say peace and safety, Finally, everything is at peace. And then sudden destruction comes upon them, but it's as upon a woman with child. So that's a destruction of everything that you know, because a baby changes everything. It's not destruction to tear down, but to give new life. That's the way I see that. I don't know, you know, that's the way God spoke to me about it. Like, when there's sudden destruction to the children of darkness, it's because a new birth is about to take place. They're travailing like a woman with child. And you know, when your wife has a new baby, sometimes there's a lot of sleepless nights ahead. Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of poopy diapers to change. Sometimes, you know, but still, good comes out of it, you know? You have a, and then I saw also, because they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, we are the children of the day. We are the ones who know the times and the seasons. Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for your helmet, the hope of salvation. So in this walk, those are your two main armor. You take care of your heart. Let not your heart be troubled. In these days, you believe in God, believe also in me, and put on the breastplate. Watch what you let into your brain. Watch what you think about, watch what you look at. If it be not of the Lord, you know, sometimes turn off that yak box, you know, and sit with God. That's what he tells me to do. Sometimes I do it, sometimes I'm disobedient. But if we are of the day, then, where is it? Then that day of the Lord will not come on us like a thief in the night, because we will be expecting it. We'll be watching, we'll be waiting, we'll be looking, we know the seasons, and we have on our armor. Beautiful, beautiful words for us out in here.
When you speak of the seasons, you know, like a farmer, what to be done in each season, what mm-hmm. should be done in each season. Mm-hmm. But I look at all that he's speaking to us that should be done at all times. You know, when he's talking about cleanse not the spirit, abstain from mm-hmm. this and that, mm-hmm. that God is expecting or desiring us to be this and do this at all times. I believe that.
Anybody else?
Well, you know, Kathy, when it talks about here about, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago, I felt like the definition that God gave me for faith, you know, was believing in the truth or the truthfulness of God. And, you know, Scripture says, let God be true and every man be what?
A liar.
A liar. Because if you don't believe what God says, then basically you are a liar because he is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what we have to do is we have to stand on the promises of God regardless of what's happening around us, you know. Mm-hmm. We have to not observe with the natural eyes, because if we observe with the natural eyes and the natural five senses, we're going to judge falsely at times, you know. And we're not going to see the hand of God. You know, we used to sing that song, let me see the hand of God in everything, for I know that not the pleasure it will bring. So when we start actually believing that we see the hand of God, acknowledging God in all situations and circumstances, then, you know, that breastplate of faith is around us and it's keeping us protected, you know, from the things that would try to harm us spiritually. And the helmet of hope of the salvation, you know, well, a lot of times the word hope, I don't know about this particular scripture, I'd have to look it up, but usually the word hope has the meaning of to anticipate, usually with pleasure, you know. And scripture tells us that we're saved by hope, and that hope is the anchor of our soul, you know. So we need to, you know, we need to make sure that we keep that anticipation, you know. A lot of times people will come to church, and you might hear somebody say in certain service or something, boy, I didn't get nothing out of that day, you know, or something like that. You know, people will make those kind of statements. I've never heard them say that, but I'm sure they say it, you know, some people. But did they come with an anticipation? Did they come with an expectancy? Did they come ready to share if God spoke to them? You know, we used to have a sister in this church years ago that she would always say that she felt like she was called, like, to the missions, you know, to and all this kind of stuff. But I don't know if she was doing any missionary work at all. I mean, you don't have to go to another country to be a missionary. You can be a missionary to your next door neighbor, or to the person you run into in the grocery store, or whatever, you know, by just being there, showing them some love. And if God opens up an opportunity for you to witness to them, you know. But, you know, a lot of times I felt like she complained a lot about not, you know, people not letting her be a missionary. Well, if you're called to be a missionary. Everywhere you go, you can be a missionary, you know. Or you can be whatever God's calling you to be. You know, if it's, like I say, a lot of times the mission has to be that you help people. You know, I told that story that time about the man that got shipwrecked on the island, you know, and he was a missionary. He got shipwrecked on this island, and he never witnessed to the people about Jesus Christ, but he just loved people, and he was there for them, and he helped them whenever they needed help, and he did, you know, did all the things that you do if you love somebody, you know what I mean? And later, years later, another ship came by that island, and they stopped, and they had missionaries on that, and they got off, and they didn't know that guy was on the island, because nobody had ever come back to find him, you know, when that shipwreck happened. And they got to talking to the natives of that island, and they started talking to them about Jesus, you know, about the love of God and all this kind of stuff. And they said, oh, we know him. And they said, what do you mean you know him? They said, yeah, we know him. You want to meet him? they took him over to that missionary, because he had been showing them the love of God. He had been doing the work of being a ambassador of Christ, you know, and without hammering a lot of scriptures on people. And it's not always, you know, you can quote scriptures to people till you're purple in the face, but unless God makes them alive to them, it's a dead letter. It's a letter that will kill. It'll bring death to them rather than bringing life, until God opens the understanding, eyes of their understanding up. But you know, so I think a lot of times, even when we have the hope of salvation, you know, we have to realize that to him that endures to the end, the scripture says, the same shall be saved. Well, we endure because we have that hope, that anticipation. And that anticipation is what makes our faith grow too, because we realize that God did something for us in the past, and every time that he does something for us in the past, it makes us, you know, as we recall what he's done in the past, it makes us anticipate what he's going to do in the future, even if you're in what seems to be a bad situation, you know. But I like that, you know, it's that breastplate of faith and love, it says, you know. Well, the love is something that you have to do, you know. You know God loves you, but you have to express that love to other people. And if you don't express that love to other people, then it's sort of like having a nice pot and somebody pouring into that pot, but there's a hole in the bottom of the pot, you know. Well, if there's a hole in the bottom of the pot, there's not going to be anything for you to pour out of that vessel, you know. But the thing about it is when God pours into us, he expects us to go and pour it back out into other people, you know.
You know, when Betty went to the nursing home and she had that blood clot that had passed to her brain, and so she had some, you know, deficit there, of course. Mm-hmm. But when she went in and when we looked, and God spoke just as clearly to us that this is her mission field.
Right, right.
And even though at times she couldn't speak clearly what she wanted to say,
right,
God used her just loving on people, just mm-hmm. to be, you know, smile mm-hmm. at them. She always could walk all the way around. At that time, she could
right.
walk from one hallway to one, you know, all the way around. And if she did stop to pray with someone, the Spirit of God brought it just as clearly. Because we would go out with her sometimes, mm-hmm. pray with her, didn't do for Betty. And she would just start praying just as plain, just as understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And
she'd blow in tongues.
She sure would, and just minister. She kept saying before, when she stopped coming down here, mm-hmm. and me and her and Sue would come down, she'd share scripture. She kept saying, complete. This was one word. It's like God was just giving her complete. Mm-hmm. Then you were sharing about us being complete in him. Mm-hmm. But she would just emphasize that complete. She would just, and she'd look at you like that, like God was just speaking to her
mm-hmm.
and showing her about completeness in him that she was not able to really express. But we knew what she was saying. It's right. like we knew what she, I, God is just.
Yeah.
Brenda, when you were saying that and you said something about it, and she would just look at them while you were talking about Betty, I was thinking about Betty, and I remember she had the piercingest eyes. She would look at you and she could see right down into your very soul, couldn't she? sharp eyes. And when you said that, you know, God would speak to her, and she could see.
Oh, yeah. Discern. Yeah. Discern.
When I was in the hospital,
gracious.
I don't know what happened to me. It was 6 days of something came over my personality that was not of me. It was of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There, I would talk to anybody. I was going down the hall on a gurney. I don't even know what I was going for. And this little girl was pushing me down there, and I was prophesying to her. And I would, you know, she was, I was telling her how I met my husband when I was in my 40s. And she would say, oh, I wish I could find that kind of, and I went off. And God is saying to you, you will have that. He will give you that. And I can't get that woman out of my mind.
Right.
I know that God is going to answer her prayer. She
Praise
is so
Lord.
Precious in the Lord. Something happens when you are in God's will, maybe not by your own desire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there I was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was my choice. But let me tell you, the joy that I felt those 6 days that I was in the hospital far outnumbered, you know, any of the I don't even remember anything much else.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, was I a lovely person. I bet Mike wishes I was still like that.
He's been praying.
The loveliness of the Lord just oozed down him. It wasn't me.
He's praying that he But it is, you know, no matter where, if we are open to him,
mm-hmm.
he will use us anywhere,
right.
whoever we come in contact
mm-hmm.
with,
mm-hmm.
he does.
Well, I know this. When she was in the hospital, everybody who came in the room, she lit the light up. She lit their light They were the happiest people. They came in, they took care of her so good.
So God had this vessel that you were going to use.
And yeah, I mean, and they and I can't tell you how many said, "You are such a good patient," you know? And I know her.
So you knew
she could not. She could have been a really bad patient.
But the Spirit of God.
But she did not.
Yes.
And
praise the Lord.
Well, I want to go back to the very first part of this, where it says, about the times and the dates. We do not need to write you, for you knew very well that the day of the Lord will come with like a thief in the night. If we knew when Jesus is coming back, and Oscar, you were saying it very well before when you were saying the anticipation is what keeps us going. If we knew, you become, you know, if you know what the end is, you come become complacent. You'd say, okay, it doesn't matter what happens, it's going to be, this is the way it's going to be. And that's not what we want. We want to be anticipating the joy and the greatness of it when it happens. At least I do. I know that's what I am. I am anticipating that when Jesus returns, I want to be in there. I want to be in that cloud of witnesses, and I believe I will. But for me. My goal, I shouldn't say goal, that's probably the wrong word.
Your greatest desire.
Yeah, that's probably right. Is to be at peace with myself and be at peace with the world and try and encourage people as much as I can encourage people. And that doesn't mean you have to go and be a big rah-rah guy and do all that. That means saying hi to someone that needs a pat on the back. Mm-hmm. I've said it before, a few years back, I decided that every time I walk into some place, the first thing I do is I ask everybody how they're doing. Mm-hmm. How many times have we walked into a convenience store or some place where the guy's just sitting there like, you know, I don't want to be here. And if you just treat them with love, all those things change. All those things change. Not only, just a smile. Immediately they change. And, you know, you never know who you're going to touch, that you're going to change their life. That's the most important thing for me to remember. Is to be open with my faith, and also to be to encourage people. Just to, you know, people need, and especially in today's world, man. We were just talking about it on the way down, weren't we? Mm-hmm. What a world we live in today. You know,
stress and strain.
What were we watching yesterday? She had something on TV and they had a happiness council or something that said who's happy and who's not. Young people aren't happy anymore. You know? Why not? Why aren't they happy anymore? Mm-hmm. Because they don't have Jesus in their life. They don't have the Lord in their life.
We were in Bob Evans yesterday. Before having breakfast, and there was this young man who came and sat down, mm-hmm. and he had on this wild kind of jumpsuit.
He did.
And when we got up to leave, I just felt drawn to him, and I said, "Oh," I said, "I just love that. It is so bright." And it's so, I said, "I have to get a better look at this." You know, it seemed like. And I touched his shoulder, and it was real soft, like real soft fleece. Mm-hmm. And you know what that man said to me? He said, "I make these myself." Now, you know, the Lord just drew me to him so that he could say something positive about himself. And then he said something about all glory to God. And I just, he blessed me and I blessed him, and on we went with our day. It's just amazing the people that the Lord will draw you to, if you're open to it.
Right.
I have a question from verse 3, chapter 5, verse 3. Why are people saying peace and suffering? Destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on pregnant women, and they will not escape. So, what is the way people are saying the peace and safety? The Bible says destruction will come on them suddenly.
Suddenly.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, my English is like that. And they say, and they will not escape.
Mm-hmm.
What are the means? Who these people? Who those people?
Those, to me, those are people who are living, they are not children of the day. That's what it says, children of the night. You know, they're going along living their lives, eating, drinking, sleeping in the night, drinking in the night, living in and of this world, taking no care for spiritual things. And when they say, oh, finally, peace, peace, that's when they will get a sudden wake-up call. I mean, it's no different than a tornado all of a sudden sweeps through. It's no different than, you know, there's destruction, and they don't escape it. But is that destruction of those things evil, or is it of the Lord for their good? It's not for us to judge. It's for us to always praise God in everything. Is that, would you go ahead with that? That's about all I know to say about
well,
that.
Well, if you read the next verse, it says, but brethren, you are not in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's saying there, basically, he's saying people that are in darkness, they don't really see what God's really doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they basically have that attitude of that, well, everything's all right because I think it's all right, you know. Well, it's not necessarily whatever you think, it's whatever God's doing in that particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you read it there, it says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as the thief, as it does the thief, as a thief would, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you're all, missed it there.
Sons of the light.
Yeah, yeah. I jumped down too far. I'm trying to use my computer because I didn't know for sure if Kathy was going to do this today. Mm-hmm. And it says, you're all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And you know, the thing about it is there's a scripture that says that we're to esteem every day as a day of the Lord, the same, you know. I mean, you know, some people, over the years, I was just thinking about this earlier, over the years, I don't know how many times I've turned on a Christian radio station and heard somebody say, oh, well, you know, the Lord's coming on this day and this is happening and that, you know, and all. And they say that, you know, every so often, and they don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something that they're trying to figure out on their own, and you know, they usually their words fall right to the ground. You know, so when you realize that God's in control, and you esteem every day as the same. This what I mean by that is. This is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. See? And if you have that attitude every day, then nothing is going to overtake you, because if something's going to happen and God wants you to know it, you're going to know it. He'll let you know it, you know. And a lot of times, people of the world, as long as, you know, they're making money and they're doing this and doing that, that, oh, this is great, you know, this is great. And you know, I don't know if you realize this or not, but when things are bad, the people who have money make more money. They actually make money when things are bad, you know, because what they do is they buy more stock and they do all kind of stuff and get it at a real low rate. And then when things pick back up, and boy, they made a ton of money all of a sudden, you know. But, you know, so a lot of times things that are bad, you know, in the world actually enrich the people that are wealthy, you know, a lot of times. And it's basically one of these situations to where we're supposed to look at every day the same. We're supposed to have that attitude. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
No matter what's happening.
Don't look with the natural eyes. If you look with the natural eyes, you're gonna be as fretful and stuff as the rest of them out there. But you know, if you trust in the Lord and he's your strength, he's your source, you know. I've never worried financially about where I stand or anything like that, because I know God's my source, you know. And I don't count on the things that I have or the things I don't have, you know what I mean. I just know that God has promised to supply my needs. He's always there, you know. And I don't have a gloom and doom attitude about anything.
He also has promised to work all things out for our good.
Good, right. Doesn't say all things are good, but all things work together for our good. Yeah.
At verse 3, that reminds me of the virgins with the lamps.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. You know, how they thought everything was secure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They thought they had enough, and all of a sudden, you know,
they didn't have the oil.
Yes. They had the oil, and then,
yeah,
you know, they was asking their other women to give them oil because of who they was expecting, but they didn't have the means to, you know, show the light.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the thing about it is, it's like how many years, just going in a natural realm here, how many years have they been trying to bring peace to the Middle East? Mm-hmm. They're not going to bring peace to the Middle East. You know what's going to bring peace to the Middle East?
Jesus.
That's the only thing that's going to bring peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. You know, these politicians, they're not going to bring peace over there.
And wasn't that between the Israeli and the Palestinian, was that before?
And you know what? They're all brothers. They're all really related to each other. You know, but because they have different viewpoints, they fight with each other, you know.
Well, that's what you were asking about, Robert, is I'm looking at this. We don't need to write to you about the end, you know, about times and dates. You know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Mm-hmm. People are saying peace and safety. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think it goes back to what I was saying before. You get a little complacent, you think, all right, everything's fine. Destruction will come on them suddenly. It's labor pains of pregnant, and they will not escape. Mm-hmm. We're all going to have to go through trials. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to escape them. No matter what we think right now, we're going to have to go through them. We'll have the peace and safety when the day of the Lord comes. Okay, but we don't know when that's coming. And in the meantime, there are things that we're going to have to go through. And it doesn't mean, you know, when it says destruction, I don't want to think that, you know, everything's going to get blown up and, you know, I'm saying our lives are going to get totally blown up, but we're going to have to go through stuff. Just like Kathy and I, in the last 2 weeks, we were just rolling right along, mm-hmm. and we had a trial come into our life, right. and we couldn't escape it.
Not just like when I was my first marriage, you know, we're going along, my wife and I are going along, and then she gets sick and died, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's just like everything's going along all of a sudden.
Boom.
And then that's destruction right there. But the only thing I did was fell on my knees and gave praise to God that, you know, mm-hmm. I knew where she was. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, how many times in your life have you had something come on you all of a sudden like that?
Yeah. Many, many times.
Yeah. Many, many times.
Yeah. Even your health.
Yes.
But in the midst of it, don't you see, in the midst of all these things, as we're drawing from Him and looking to Him and see, we can have peace in the midst of, and when He talks about, you know, the peace, yeah. and they talk about the destruction, we all have experienced, I know I have all these years, and, you know, content. But I know when your eyes are upon, and right at the minute it happens, many times I'm not, I'm saying, oh, like this. Mm-hmm. But then when you look and send who your source is, mm-hmm. and who's there with you no matter what you're going through, mm-hmm. and no matter, you know, what is happening, mm-hmm. there's peace. You know, there's peace that He gives, and I know you've all experienced it because you haven't served the Lord mm-hmm. and saved this long. That you've not had trials, tests, experiences, and we've learned many times from failures. There's always been a learning from the experiences. And you've seen what He's done to you, in you, and through you, in the midst of. That's why He's wanting mm-hmm. us, our eye, to be so single, you know, to Him. That no matter what is going on, no matter what the circumstances are, the situation is, and that.
Well, I look at it this way. It's just like, I think it says it right here. It says, we know very well that the day of the Lord will come. And while people are saying peace and safety, all right, they know that the day of the Lord is coming, and peace and safety is going to be part of that, right? But destruction will come on them suddenly, which means it ain't right now. It ain't coming right now. So you still got to go through some stuff before it comes. But you know that when it comes, all this stuff is you're going to be in peace and safety. That you're going to be okay. That's my interpretation.
Mm-hmm. You know one thing that kills me, same verse. It makes me chuckle, actually. I think, Brenda, you're the only one in this room that's given birth to a child. But it says, sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. Now, if you've got, you're great with child, and you're saying, oh, everything is so great. Are you going to get out of that any way other than travail?
That's right.
Honey, you're going to go through it. Is
pain,
that not right?
Yes.
But
the joy.
But the joy.
Afterwards, see, this precious
yes,
life.
But there is.
Yes. Worth it all. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got a scripture here. This is Joel, and this is chapter 2. And starting with verse 1, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh and at hand.
Yes, it is.
And there's a lot of different
yes.
scriptures where it'll say, it'll talk about the day of the Lord, and it says, nigh and it's at hand. Well, I got news for you. Every day is a day of
yes,
the Lord.
It is.
If you're in the Lord and you really have that understanding, it's always the day of the Lord.
Yes.
And it's listen what it says, the rest of this. It says, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountain,
yes.
a great people, and a strong hath there not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more. After it, even the years of many generations, a fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and as horsemen. So they run like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains. Shall they leap like the noise of the flame of fire? And remember, we've been talking a lot about fire lately, you know. A lot of my sermons, I've been talking a lot about the fire of God and what that really means. And it says, behind them is utter desolation, and before them is as the Garden of Eden. And I got news for you. We have to go through desolate places, but when we walk through a desolate place in the Lord, and we come upon people who are in a position of desolation, we can begin to instill in them the hope of God and turn them into the Garden of Eden, you know, so to speak, you know. Hey.
Well,
how you doing?
Hi,
oh, yeah. How you doing? Good to see you.
Yeah. I'll get out of your way here, lady.
Are you going to sit on that, or are you going to sit in a chair?
Uh-oh.
Whoa, be careful.
Let me get out of your way.
You look like you was about ready to take off on a race there, girl.
So good to see you.
I got you.
Yeah. You want to sit in a chair?
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you handle it there. Here. But anyway, when you realize that sounds negative up there in that scripture we were looking at,
mm-hmm.
But as far as you're concerned, that's just an opportunity for you to show forth the love of God and to show forth everything else that we've been talking about here, you know. And yes, to some people, it's going to be a desolate place.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's one of those situations to where, as far as you're concerned, those places are just another place for God to show himself to you and prove himself for you, you know. How you doing, girl? We ain't seen you for a while. You doing all right?
Good to see you.
That sounds like verse 18.
Hello to everybody.
That sounds like verse 18.
Yeah.
Thank God and everything, no matter what the circumstances may be.
Right.
Thankful and give thanks. This is the will of God for you, who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Concerning
the
you.
And the mediator.
Yeah.
Everything.
In everything, yeah.
Sunshine.
See, it doesn't mean that when you're in a place of where it seems desolate, that you have to thank God for the desolation. But you thank God that he's with you in the middle of that desolation. And then I believe when you do that, and as you go through that dry, dark place or whatever it is, what'll end up happening, it will bring forth a lot of fruit on down the way a little bit, you know. Maybe what I'm going to try to share today, I hope I can, you know, hey guys, I'll have to pray for me. I'm going to speak out of Ezekiel today.
Ooh,
and it's kind of deep, but literally it will mirror a lot of the things that we're talking about in here, you know, right now.
You know, like you were saying about dry place. You know, there's a cactus plant out in Arizona that bears fruit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, to me, it smells like strawberries.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like strawberry or peach, something like that.
Right.
And I never had the, what do you call it, what I'm trying to say is that I wanted to grab one and try it, but I didn't know if it was
poison,
edible.
Yeah.
Edible. Yeah, but it smelled so good, you know. But just think, out in the desert, a cactus will, you know, produce fruit.
Yeah.
You know? But
Okay, I think it's about time to close, you guys. Yeah. Mike Metz.
Kathy Metz. What did I tell you before I... Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for the sunshine today. Thank you for sunshine right here. Father, thank you for the opportunity to listen to your word today. Yes. Father, just help us to understand what you're trying to say to us each and every day. Yes. Father, just let us be in anticipation of the day of the Lord. Yeah. And let us just continue to do what you want us to do and be in your will each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.